Tani Sue felt that she had something that she would like to share, and I asked her to do that tonight. It's in line with something I want to share, and I know that I'm preaching to the converted tonight. I'm preaching at the choir, but it's something that if we can get it crystallized and, you know, that we can get it down in order that we might be able to share it with our small group members. Many of you are small group facilitators or whatever, and you might have the same challenge. You're having to phone up small group members every week. Where are you guys? You know, we miss you and whatever. It just doesn't feel like small group when half the small group's not there. Then it's more like, what would you call it? Microscopic micro group, something like that. Okay. So, yeah, if we're not together, then there is some form of disunity. We cannot move forward if we're not together anyway. But what I want to encourage us with tonight is exactly what Tani Sue kind of ended off with, that idea that we would fall in love with God and His family all over again. You cannot love the head of the church and not the body. It doesn't work that way. It's the same package. It's a package deal. So what you've got to ask yourself, if maybe you really don't love the people in this church, is this the church where God wants you to be? We don't hold anyone at gunpoint to be in this church. We really want people to enjoy and love being here. So, you know, come and talk to me if you just don't feel at home. Maybe there's something that I or some of the other leaders or someone's doing to make you feel unwelcome. Again, I'm saying I'm telling you this tonight, but you're just representative of the whole church, and it's actually more for the people that aren't here. So I encourage them maybe to listen to this sermon before they come to small group. Maybe we'll give you guys a chance and do this one like in a week and a half or something. And yeah, encourage them with it as well. It's really important that we, for us to move forward and be effective for God, that we get this right. Otherwise, we're really all just wasting our times. I mean, there are other things to do on Sunday evenings. But we're here, we should be here, because we really want to be here, and because this is number one for us. It mustn't be, if it feels like a schlep, if it feels like hard work and effort to be here, then we've got to ask ourselves some serious personal questions. Okay. And we got to get that priority right in our lives. And we've got to ask God, God, come and change our heart. Because no one is born, you know, with that desire to be in church every day. You're not born with that. As Tani Sue said, we can cultivate that. It comes by commitment. And yes, there's so much blessing stored up in that. But we don't do it just for ourselves. But trust me, it is so blessed. Everything that I have to be grateful for since coming to know the Lord is because of my association and my commitment to church. It is really blessed. Found my wife in church. Everything that is good has come through church. God works through His church, through His body. He chooses first and foremost to work through the church and not just supernaturally and sovereignly without the church's hand in the matter. So, David said it well in Psalm 27. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. You know, when we praise and we worship the Lord here, I don't know what thoughts are going through your head or what pictures the Lord is revealing to you. It's something truly blessed for me and something different from putting on a CD at home and worshiping Him at home or in the car. It's different. It's different when we're here together. I think you'll agree with me. It's something, there's something special about it. There's a heightened worship experience in God's presence. And in singing the last song together there, I just kind of almost saw this, just like a, I don't know what it was, like a just flowing drapes or whatever it is. But it was just this sparkling, beautiful picture. And God just dropping in my spirit how He makes everything beautiful. And He's beautiful in who He is and every part of Him. And He will take what is ugly in your life and make it beautiful. And that is something that I wouldn't have received at 6:15 if I was not here. I don't know what God revealed to you guys. I'm sure He did. You know, so often we shy to come and share with each other what God is showing us. And we should encourage one another. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25, going from the Old Testament heart of David down to the writer of Hebrews, not 100% sure who that was yet. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You don't have to be a genius to know that today we are one day closer to seeing the return of Jesus than what we were yesterday. Okay? So with each passing week, we should make an attempt and an effort to be a church with more fervor than the week before. So we are even more slack if next week we don't come to church than if we didn't come to church today. All right? And I'm not preaching condemnation tonight. I'm actually encouraging you. You can see I've got a smile on my face. We are here to stir one another up. It's not just for us that we gather together. We're here to be a blessing, not just to receive blessing. Yes, we receive blessing. The Lord ministers to us here. But man, we're also here to share with each other, to testify. A church is extremely boring when there's only one person who has the mic. Really, you guys know that there's open invitation for you guys to approach me and say you've got something in your heart that you want to share. Most of the time I will just test that it's in line with what the Lord wants to do tonight and then go for it. Very seldom have I stopped someone from sharing something. This is a place where we can encourage one another. And I want to encourage you, come prepared to church. Come with something to give. Not only our finances as a commitment to the kingdom, but something in your heart, something of a spiritual deposit that you want to make here. Because each of us have something truly unique and special that the Lord has given us. And it's not just for ourselves to keep. You need to teach a child how to share. We grown-ups here. We come willing to share, ready to share. Isn't that so? Can I have an amen? Amen. Good stuff. Old Testament, David, New Testament, the writer of Hebrews saying, don't neglect coming together. And now in the modern church, you find most people and small group leaders and ministers saying, you know, please come to church. Please come to small group. We've got it all out of whack that we have to beg each other. It shouldn't be that way. We should never have to please, plead and explain. It's not that way. Beginning of last year, we read that portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about us being one body with many parts. You remember that? I underline just a few verses for tonight's purposes. Then verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 12. Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That's if the foot should say, sorry. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. We are all different here. We're all different. One body made up of many parts. So there's a couple of lies that the enemy tries to throw at us to try and bring division between us and the body, to try and separate us or isolate us. And that is where the danger comes in. And this is one of the type of lies that you get, is that you might say, well, I don't really know my place. I don't seem to have the same strengths as the other people. I don't seem to fit into this church. I think different. I talk different. I walk different. Let me tell you, that's a lie of the enemy to try and keep you away. At the end of the day, we all are different, but we all belong in the body. Just because the foot is not a hand, he can't say, well, I don't belong in the body because all I see is hands. No. You belong here. Yes, you are different. Each one of us is different, but you belong here. You belong in the body. Don't ever let a lie like that keep you at home on a Sunday. All right? You belong here. If the foot doesn't arrive, then we're going to hop around on one leg. Not very lekker, all right? If the whole body, verse 17, were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? Okay, so there's method in how God comprises the body and puts the body together. We do indeed, and for very specific reason, have different giftings and abilities, and we are meant to be bringing that to the party. If there was only one person ministering, if there's only one type of person in the church, then we don't have the full experience and the full revelation and the full truth from the Lord. We need everyone to be here. If we were all an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? So you can see that if you're not here, the body is at a lack and a loss. If you're not at small group, the rest of the small group suffers. We are many parts yet one body. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Even within the body, we cannot be judging one another. We cannot be comparing or competing with one another for position and so on. We are all different. You can't have a hand say to a foot, I don't need you. Of course, you need me. Otherwise, how are you going to get to the place where you need to go and do the work with a hand? So, we need each other. If you're not here, we're at a loss. Verse 25. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. One member suffers, all suffer together. One member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Okay, so he uses that very clear and simple analogy of a human body, the human anatomy, and at the end tells the people, well, this is how it works with the church. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So when we are not together, when we are separated, when we isolate ourselves, when we neglect coming together, in contrast to the writer of Hebrews warning, then we really shoot each other in the foot. Then we hurt the body of Christ. When you decide, well, there's something better to do on a Wednesday evening or a Sunday afternoon, I just want you to know that you will be missed. You will be missed. Just your presence there makes a difference. If I wake up in the morning and my foot is not attached to my body, if the presence of my foot is not there, I will miss it. Okay. Even if my foot says nothing, it's got a purpose for being there. With both my feet securely on, I feel like I can go places. With one of the feet off, I will not feel like I can go very far today. All right? The same way, we need to start thinking and operating as one, as a body, as a unit. When there's division, when there's separation, isolation, we cannot function as the body of Christ. And it's virtually like the Lord's words falling on deaf ears. We cannot accomplish our mandate here if we are not together. We need each other. Amen. Does anyone here love going to small group and there's two people there? No, no one. Okay. Does anyone here love going to small group and there's 12 people there? That's lekker. That's exciting. Ne? That's exciting. Now something's going to happen tonight. Oh, people are going to share. Things are going to happen. We can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. Is it nice coming to church and there's 20 people when there's meant to be 70 people? It's not so nice. Okay. Because how can we go forward? Now on Wednesday in small group, we want to encourage each other and discuss and, you know, personalize the word that was shared, and we want to move forward together. But we can't because 2/3 of the people weren't at church. Okay, so it's really a practical thing. It's not just that my feelings are hurt. Don't worry about my feelings. It's a practical thing. We can't move forward. I'm in fact more task orientated, unfortunately. That means I have to compensate. Being a pastor, I need to really trust the Lord the whole time to give me more and more compassion and understanding. But first and foremost, I'm here to achieve an objective that the Lord has given us. And to that we together can do that. Not me, us together as the body. And we're not going to do it if we're not all on board. We need to get all on board. And obviously, I'm you know, it sounds like I'm going off at you guys. Like I said, I'm preaching at the choir tonight. But we need to understand this as well, and we need to be able to communicate this. But, you know, we're going to get this right. I'm excited about the potential and everything. This morning, Charlene shared with me. She's quite passionate about this as well. You know, I know that there are always, there's sometimes things that happen where you need to be out of town or whatever. I'm not going to police anyone ever. I will encourage people. I'm not going to police anyone. This is not a fear-motivated religion that we find ourselves in. This is a loving relationship. And there's heaps of grace. But it's about cultivating a love and a zeal for the house of God. So yes, sometimes we genuinely can't make it. You know, but when it becomes, you know, I'll go if I feel like it, or if there's really nothing better to do, or there's like continuous trend of coming to church once in a month, maybe twice in a month, then the red lights are going on. Then you have to ask yourself, if that's you, what is really important to me in life, and, you know, where is my relationship with the Lord going? Am I going forward? Because I cannot have a good relationship with Jesus as the head of the church and a poor relationship with the church. He's the body of Christ. You cannot have both. Those are mutually inclusive. As I said, it's a package deal. You can't think that you can have poor church attendance but a great relationship with the Lord. Just from a practical point of view, the red lights should be going on in your head. Okay, then it's danger zone for you. I'm okay, yeah, I have pretty good church attendance. All right, so I'm preaching with authority here tonight. And I had good church attendance before I became a pastor. All right, so, you know, back in Stellenbosch, we had church twice on a Sunday, and I couldn't wait to get to church. I had a passion for the house of God, and I still do. I wish I could receive more. And that's why you guys are going to step up to the plate, so that some of you are meant to be preaching here by next year. We want to raise up sons in the house, but you can't raise a son up if he doesn't pitch up. Okay. You must listen to God. You must inquire of Him. He's got big plans, and some of you are meant to be in ministry very shortly. But God can't raise you up if you're not in the house. All right. John chapter 21 that Charlene shared with me, verse 15 to 17. When Jesus confronts Peter just before the ascension, He says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter answered Him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because He said to him a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Peter, yeah, had walked with the Lord for 3 years, raised up as a son on the verge of having to take the gospel and run with it. What does the Lord say? So for our purposes, Simon Peter is mature in Christ. And what does he say? He says, "Feed my sheep, tend to them, feed them." We know, to use that analogy, we have to eat spiritually, we have to eat. That's kind of what he's talking about here. It's about spiritual growth, it's about growing in the Lord, it's about eating from the bread of life, growing spiritually. But we can see there, "Feed my sheep." Not "make sure my sheep eat." "Feed my sheep." So it's not good enough we eat. Not good enough we just eat at home out of the Word of God. You need to be fed. If you are still growing in the Lord, if you, depending on the place where you are in your relationship with the Lord, you need to be fed by someone. You need to be in a local body where you're getting fed. If you are mature in Christ, you should be feeding people. Not just checking on a check sheet later that someone has eaten. You need to be feeding people. So there's the body principle. We're ministering to one another. We're being fed and we are feeding. You cannot do that if you're there on your own at home. You cannot do that if you're not in the house of God. Okay. Some people, yeah, need to get fed. Some people, yeah, need to be doing feeding. All right. Amen. You still awake? Good stuff. Almost there, guys. Commitment. Another word. Rather, any type of relationship that God understands is called a covenant. Yesterday, we were at the beautiful wedding. Two beautiful people, Stefan and Leandi. You guys know them. They're going on honeymoon now, and then they're going to come back and live here because they've kind of been in Stellenbosch half the time and so on. But I'm very excited about their future. It was a beautiful wedding. And that's an example, that's a very easy and obvious example of a covenant relationship. Marriage. It's a perfect commitment. In the case of marriage, between two imperfect people and then God also, Jesus Christ is part of the Christian marriage. Our relationship with God is called a covenant. It's a covenant, any covenant, perfect commitment, and it's been sealed in blood. In our case with God, obviously the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. From God's side, perfect commitment. He's the perfect party. He will remain faithful. He's never going to desert us. He's never going to do us in. We are the unfaithful ones. He will remain faithful even if we are unfaithful. But we need to come to understand covenant, and we need to take more seriously the things of God, the purposes and plans of God, the kingdom of God, and the body of Christ. We need to take it more seriously. We need to understand that God sees it as a covenant. Maybe we don't see it yet, but then we must see, we must pray and ask God, God, help me to understand covenant. Help me to understand what I'm doing here, because at the moment I'm just playing church. Then I might as well not go to church, okay? It's not a game. It's not a game to God. Stanley Sue said, if we're lukewarm about these things, God can't relate to that. He can't understand that. He doesn't want to eat something that's lukewarm. It's not like, I don't know. I like my food piping hot. It's a disaster at home. Our microwave has given in. Okay. So now if you don't eat something, the pup out of the pot straight away, then you're going to be in for a nasty experience as far as I'm concerned. I like things piping hot. And so maybe that's just another godly attribute of mine. No, I don't want to be funny. You know, the Lord likes it piping hot. Don't be lukewarm around Him. He doesn't understand casual. Like, okay, Lord, you know, thanks for helping me out last week. It was great and I really enjoyed the service, you know, but I've got some cool weekends lined up and, you know, see you next month in church like that. Or, you know, the church still understand or whatever, my friends. God doesn't understand casual. He only understands covenant. He understands it's all or nothing. Jesus didn't halfway do the job for us on the cross. He did it all for us. And then when it comes to the Lord, it's all or nothing. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. We make the choice. He's already done it. He's fulfilled it. It is finished, He said. Now the invitation is there for us. Do we take our relationship with the Lord seriously? In this modern day and age, the busyness of life and so many other desires and things that get thrown our way, things to aim at which have nothing to do with the kingdom, that steal our attention and our focus. And the Lord all the while, He's standing at the door knocking, Revelations 3, knocking. And the promise that He holds before us is if we hear His voice, if we take the time out, if we take Him seriously and obey Him and let Him in like He wants to, then there's a feast waiting for us. A feast with Him that nothing in the world can compare to. Everything out there is a counterfeit and second rate by a long way compared to what the Lord has for us. A feast is waiting for us if we can commit If we stop playing around and letting the Lord in the 1 week and leaving him outside the next week, we are committing adultery spiritually. It is serious. You can go further with 10 committed people than with 100 uncommitted people. That's the reality. 11 that became 12 again, committed disciples, changed the world. So yes, we want to see people get saved and everything, but it's really not about numbers. It's just that we want everyone to know Jesus. But we'll be more effective for the kingdom of God even if you had 5 committed people. You can turn table view on its head with 5 committed people, 5 sold out people to the cause. I want to encourage you, be one of those 5. Be one of those 5. Go for it. You can. Anyone can. It's a choice. The Lord used the most unlikely people to change the world. Uneducated, untrained fishermen, most of them. Turned the world upside down. So committed to the cause that all but one of them died a very cruel death where they had the choice to recant their faith. So committed were they to the cause. So committed were they. We can follow in their footsteps. They were only men. They were only men. Just going to skip a bit. So I want to actually close so that we can pray together with my favorite scripture, because it has rung so true in my life. It would really rank right up there with my favorite scriptures. My favorite one certainly to share in church, and you guys haven't heard it for a few weeks. Okay. Psalm 92 verse 13. I should tattoo it on my body if it wasn't so painful, and I've got my reservations about tattoos, but no offense if you have tattoos. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. When the house of the Lord becomes a priority in your life, when you fall in love with the family of God, it will unlock such blessing in your life. And when it comes to the rewards one day at the judgment seat of Christ, you would be kicking yourself for all the years that you weren't in love with the family of God. Really, it is untold blessing when you just make that choice that, for lack of a better expression, we are being very practical here with one another, because it's really a barometer of our spiritual well-being. That we make it a choice and a decision to commit to being at church. If you're visiting and you still need to find that church, to find that church, but to commit to being there. And small group, we are what you call a small group or a cell-based church. We believe church really happens at least twice a week on a Sunday, and then whenever you have small group, whether it be a Wednesday night or whatever. That is where church life happens. The two are inextricably woven and connected. You can't just, you know, you can't hop around. The 1 week I'm going to have KFC, the next week Steers or whatever. When it comes to small group and church, you're not going to get the full meal. All right, you're not going to get the balanced diet. You need both of them. You need to make it a priority. When I took my first job after being back in South Africa, I told my boss, great, and I needed that job. I needed money. I'd already committed as a volunteer during the day elsewhere, and I needed the money with this evening job opportunity that I got. But I told him right on the outset, I mean, there's not a lot of jobs going around that that I could have taken, but I said, you know, I'll work every night except Sunday nights, I'm at church. Tuesday nights, I'm at Bible school. Wednesday nights, I'm at small group. And there was another one. I can't remember. But, no, okay, let's say just those three. That was my priority. That was the first thing. You know, if they said no, sorry, then I would have said thanks. I trust the Lord to make a way for me. But that was my priority. And I know if I live according to my priorities, God will take care of the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and He will make the rest work for you. I know that God would have given me another job that would cover the bills if I stuck by my priorities. Even if they said no, I would have found another one. There was no way that I was going to compromise on that. Every Sunday, I'm at church. Every Tuesday, I'm at Bible school. And every Wednesday, I'm at small group. So I'm available to you the rest of the time. And God provided I got the job. And I want to encourage you, if there's things that are stealing away from your family time, this is family. If there's things that are stealing from that, trust God and say no to those other things that are stealing. Trust Him and watch Him come through for you. He came through for me and He will come through for you. Because He honors His word. When you seek first His kingdom, He will add the other things. Might not pan out like you thought it would, but trust me, your life will be better off for it. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you know, this is sometimes a bit uncomfortable to talk about these kind of things so blatantly, Lord God, but I just want to thank you for the liberty to be able to share with family here tonight, for Tani Sue's testimony. Lord, thank you that we can receive it in love. Thank you, Lord God, that we only share this because we truly care about each other. We want what's best for each other. We know that what's on your heart is truly best for us. We cannot second guess it. We cannot come up with anything better than that. And when you say we shouldn't neglect coming together, when you say that if we are planted in your house, we'll flourish, if you say that we should first seek your kingdom, that you will add all the other things to us, we can take you at your word. It is written, we believe it, that settles it. Lord, we pray that you will help make this revelation to us. Lord, help us to live by your word, not only be hearers of your word, but doers as well. Building a house upon the rock, by being doers of the word, by honoring your word, by keeping to our priorities. Then the storms of life can come and they won't move us. But when we're half in your church and half out of your church and the storms of life come, they will rattle us. And your word says, great will be the fall if we don't obey your word. Father, I pray for grace in abundance over everyone here, Lord, and those that are members of this church, but they're not here. And Lord, you know how it is with this church at this time, Lord. This is our church, this is our family, Lord God, and we really see it as that, Lord. But if we recognize, Lord, that we are not really committed, that we don't really understand covenant, I pray that you'll help us to understand that. Help us to prioritize. Help us to live according to those priorities. Let us be men and women of value and integrity. Father, let us put our money where our mouth is. Let us walk the talk and see your kingdom come. Lord, we know that one can send 1,000 to flight, but two can send 10,000 to flight. When two on earth agree on anything, it will be done. When there's agreement, when there's unity that commands a blessing from you, Lord, it's so difficult to establish unity if we're not here together on a regular basis. I pray, Lord, for grace that we'll be able to make that transition, that we'll be able to take that step up in terms of our commitment to the cause of Christ together in Jesus' name. You can just keep your heads bowed. If you know, I'm not going to call anyone forward or anything like that, all the eyes closed. As I said, it starts with a decision, a choice on your behalf. And if you feel you need to make that kind of a choice, I just want to give you that opportunity where just in the sight of God, no one's looking around, you just raise your hand and you say, Lord, I want to make that choice to grow in commitment. Really to try to deny myself so often so I can be part of your family. Then you just raise your hand. You just raise your hand to God. You say, Lord, I need help understanding covenant. I need help with this commitment thing, Lord. It is difficult. It feels like a drag. It feels like work to me sometimes. But Lord, I recognize I need this. I want to understand it. I want to get there. You raise your hand. Lord, I just want to thank you for decisions that are getting made in this room tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, that you honor those decisions. People that want to get serious about putting your kingdom first, I thank you. You love those decisions and you honor those decisions. I pray for grace here, Lord, that we will walk away here different from what we came in with a renewed zeal for your house. I pray that you'll bless this church. I pray, Lord, that you'll build this church. That you'll build your kingdom inside of us. That we'll get a heart for each other and a heart for your kingdom. That we'll step up and receive from each other. Be fed by one another. That we would also feed each other. That we would come to give. That we would come to bless. That we really be a body, that there will be real relationship, that there will be real love that is connecting us. If we're not serving and actively feeding and blessing each other, then there's no real love, then there's no real relationship, then it's all on the surface. Then it's just nice words. But when we start putting action to that, when we start doing it, Lord, showing that commitment, Lord, help us to get the basics right. We cannot build if there's no foundation. Lord, and we recognize that we need to relook at this foundation. Help us with that, Lord. And help us to communicate this in love to those that are not here. Each one of us has a responsibility to take this message and encourage those that are not here. And that by your grace, Lord, that the zeal for your house, it flows from us, Lord. Let it flow from us through the small groups, Lord. Build this house, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. I know that's a bit of a toughie to chew on, but go for it. And it wasn't aimed at anyone specific. It's a general thing. And this is not the only church in the world where everyone is not here all the time. So be encouraged to cultivate a zeal for God's house, and you will be blessed. You will reap the benefits of it. But what I want to say is that we need you. We need each one here. We are not a body if we are not present. Okay, so looking forward to seeing you guys. Charlene and myself, we are privileged to be able to attend a training at HQ Stellenbosch this week, and at this stage they want us for ministry in Stellenbosch and the surroundings the coming weekend. So there's going to be a guest minister here, so please come. I think it's Werner Hubert. Some of you might know him. He's a one of a kind amazing speaker. You'll really enjoy him, so come and show him your support and learn from him and be a blessing, and we look forward to seeing you soon. We might still be able to be here, we'll see, but otherwise we'll see you the week after that.